From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian song. Well, listener, we begin with the news. And stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin and Malaysian King discuss efforts to combat radicalism. Erlangga Hartarto and Erick Thohir are ready to assist President Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin government. And now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin and Malaysian King yang di Pertuan Agung Sultan Abdullah Al-Mustafa Billah Shah Ibni Almarhum Sultan Haji Ahmad Shah Al-Musta'in Billah discuss effort to increase tolerance and combat radicalism in the two countries. This was stated by the Vice President at Imperial Hotel Tokyo, Japan on Tuesday. With the largest Muslim population, the Vice President said that Indonesia and Malaysia have important role to develop Islamic teaching or wasatiyah. With wasatiyah thought, Indonesia and Malaysia are hoped to protect peace in Southeast Asian region. The meeting was conducted on Tuesday morning before the two leaders attended the coronation ceremony of Emperor Naruhito of Japan. Malaysian King Sultan Abdullah has become the fourth honorary guest who conducted courtesy call with Ma'ruf Amin since the inauguration. Earlier, Ma'ruf Amin has received honorary visits of Vice President of China Wang Qishan, Vice President of Vietnam Dang Thi Ngoc Thinh, and Vice President of Myanmar Henry Van Thieu. The state visit of Vice President Ma'ruf Amin to Tokyo, who represented President Joko Widodo in fulfilling the invitation of coronation of Emperor Naruhito, more strengthens bilateral relations between Indonesia and Japan. This was stated by Head of Secretariat of Vice President Muhammad Umar when arrived in Tokyo on Monday evening. The coronation of Emperor Naruhito, which was conducted on Tuesday at Imperial Palace, Tokyo, was attended by 2,000 guests, including representatives of 170 countries. A day after being inaugurated as Vice President for 2019-2024 period, Ma'ruf Amin directly conducted the honorary visit to Tokyo, accompanied by his wife, Wuri Ma'ruf Amin, Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, and Head of Vice Presidential Secretariat Muhammad Umar and spouse. Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Monday morning called a number of candidates of ministerial cabinet of 2019-2024 period. Several candidates who attended were, among other, Chairman of Golkar Party Erlangga Hartarto and former Chairman of National Success Team of Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin, Erick Thohir. To journalists after meeting with President, Erlangga said that he himself, along with the President, discussed national economic challenge, including about trade balance deficit. According to Erlangga, President Joko Widodo has ordered him to find out effort to reduce the trade balance deficit one of them by decreasing non-oil and gas import and encouraging development of industrial area. When asked by the journalist about position in the Ministry of Economy, Erlangga Hartarto said that he is ready to support Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin government until 2024.
Terkait dengan untuk mengurangi neraca perdagangan.
Regarding the policy of reducing the trade balance, the President asked me to find products that could resolve the trade balance deficit, certainly by reducing non-oil imports. In addition, how to increase efficiency and increase oil and gas production, then, related to the implementation of biofuels, including Bio-100, as well as policies to develop regions that can support textile exports. We have stated that we are ready to support Jokowi Ma'ruf Amin until 2024 period. President Joko Widodo began to summon the candidates of ministers once being inaugurated as president for 2019-2024 period. Chairman of Nahdlatul Ulama, Kiai Haji Said Agil Siraj, in his meeting with the United States Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, at Nahdlatul Ulama's office in Jakarta on Monday, said that Nahdlatul Ulama, or NU, is always ready to be a peacemaker of Afghanistan conflict. Said Agil recognized that during his position as the chairman, he has often tried to conciliate Afghanistan conflicts, although it has not worked yet. I'm ready to be a peacemaker. Nahdlatul Ulama is always ready to be a peacemaker, wherever it is. We have been four times to reconcile Afghanistan and also conflict in Thailand between the government of Bangkok with Patani. Especially conflict in Afghanistan, it has not succeeded to be conciliated yet, likewise Uyghur or Myanmar. Meanwhile, Ambassador Joseph Donovan said that during his visit to Nahdlatul Ulama Center Board office, they also discussed about education and the role of the U.S. in establishing relations between Nahdlatul Ulama's college with universities in the U.S. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Ministry of Religious Affairs held Santriversary 2019 aimed at being the main event of National Santri Day, celebrated yearly on October 22nd. Themed the Magnificence and the Poem of Peace, the Santriversary event took place at the Banteng Square, Jakarta, Monday evening, in which thousands of Santris or devout Muslim school students participated. Secretary General of the Ministry of Religious Affairs, Muhammad Nur Khalis Setiawan, pointed out that Pesantren or Islamic boarding school is a place where the views of Indonesian Islam were crafted and preserved as well. On the occasion, Minister of Religious Affairs Lukman Hakim Saifuddin delivered a speech reflecting on Indonesia's Santri Day, while some Muslim figures also spoke on Islamic matters. According to Setiawan, this year's Santri Day celebration was special, along with the legitimation of Bill No. 18 of 2019 on Pesantren Affairs. Through the regulation, the state affirmed that Pesantren were functioning on education religious proselytize as well as the empowerment of Muslim members. Observer of Special Economic Zone Suyono Saputro hoped President Joko Widodo will strengthen Batam competitiveness as economic and free trade zone in the second term of his office. This was stated by Suyono Saputro in Batam on Monday. In response to increasingly dynamic global business trends and competition between investment zones, the government must change paradigm of Batam development, including Bintan and Karimun, in order to become more dynamic and following the changes of global trend. One of them is by exploring the determination of special economic zone, which is more flexible and has more incentives. And the last item, Indonesian cyclist Bernard Benjamin van Aert secured two medals in the Asian Tracks Championship in Jincheon, South Korea, which was held from October 17 to 22. Bernard won silver for the point race and bronze in the scratch race category. Bernard said on Monday he had spent the last few months training in Yogyakarta and Jakarta. He acknowledged that his family, coaches, sponsors, and supporters were pivotal contributors to his victory. In the same arena, Indonesian paracyclist Muhammad Fadli Imamuddin also won two medals, namely a gold medal from the individual pursuit 4,000 meter event and a silver in the IP 1,000 meter. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin and Malaysian King discuss effort to combat radicalism. Erlangga Hartarto and Erick Thohir are ready to assist President Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin government. And listeners, that's the news. Thanks for listening.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Joko Widodo, Ma'ruf Amin's cabinet. Well, listener, the inauguration of Indonesian President Joko Widodo and Vice President Ma'ruf Amin for the period 2019-2024 has taken place smoothly and safely. What has been a serious discussion is that who will be chosen by President Joko Widodo to help him work in his cabinet. After the inauguration, President Joko Widodo said that he would introduce the nominated ministers. The Indonesian people have to wait for those who are going to lead the ministries and high state institutions. On the previous occasion, President Joko Widodo asked the public to patiently wait for the cabinet announcement. He emphasized that Indonesia has many great people and are able to lead the ministers and institutions. They are willing to serve the nation. President Joko Widodo also mentioned that the ministers who would help him come from academicians, bureaucrats, politicians, santri, and officers of Indonesian Armed Forces TNI and the National Police Polri. He also emphasized that those people are not difficult to find. Who will fill the position in the cabinet under Joko Widodo Ma'ruf Amin's administration? Of course, those who are expected to be are that they will work to answer the needs of Indonesian people. They are able to fully interpret and carry out what President Joko Widodo wants in his Nawacita, the 9 programs. The second term of President Joko Widodo's administration becomes very crucial to accelerate in order to achieve the desired targets and objectives. The next cabinet is expected to move quickly to the 5 focuses of the government: development of human resources and infrastructure, streamline regulatory constraints, simplifying bureaucracy, and economic transformation. The next ministers are also expected to work in the interests of the state and nation, ignoring the interests of the groups or parties that carry them. So they will work for 5 years sincerely. High hopes rely on their shoulders, who would later occupy the position in the government cabinet of Joko Widodo and Ma'ruf Amin. They are expected to bring Indonesia with more excellent human resources to move forward. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Sing, sing, come.
listener, it's good to be with you again in our daily program Today in History. Well, I'll begin with October 22, 1939, when Hamengkubuwono, 8th, the king of the Yogyakarta Sultanate, passed away. Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono, 8th, was one of the kings in Sultanate of Yogyakarta, who was in power from 1921-1939. His original name is Gusti Raden Mas Sujadi, and he was crowned as the Sultan of Yogyakarta on February 8, 1921. During his power, he ordered a lot of renovation of the Yogyakarta Palace complex. One of them is Bansai Pagelaran, which is located in front of the palace. Other buildings are City Hingil Tratak, Dono Pratowo Gate, and Gede Mosque. He was one of the first people from the top politician in Yogyakarta City to support the struggle of Kiai Ahmad Dahlan in the formation of Muhammadiyah as a form of loyalty to Islam. He passed away on October 22, 1939. Tuning to October 22nd as National Santri Day. October 22nd as National Santri Day was set by President Joko Widodo at the Istiqlal Mosque in Jakarta on October 22, 2015. It is intended to exemplify the spirit of jihad to the students about Indonesianism, which is encouraged by the ulamas. The date refers to the history event that is called by the national hero Kiai Hasyim Asy'ari on October 22, 1945. It contains orders to Muslims to fight against the alleged troops who wanted to recolonize the Treaty of Republic of Indonesia after the proclamation of independence. As the winner of the World War II, the Allies came to take over the former Japanese colony. Apparently, there were Dutch troops who were riding along to recolonize Indonesia, which already proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945. Well, listener, will end with International Stuttering Awareness Day. October 22nd was designated as International Stuttering Awareness Day, or ISAD, in 1998. Today it is aimed to raise public awareness about millions of people, or 1% of the world population, who had a speech impediment. In an article published in the British Community Magazine to mark International Stuttering Awareness Day, Irina Papicheva from the Bulgarian Stuttering Association and Phil Madden from the European Service Provider Association for People with Disabilities demanded a new start in attitude towards stuttering. They say everyone has a responsibility to be aware, to be sensitive in conversation and meetings, and to remember that stuttering is not funny. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Sahi, hatiku, oh, sahi, melihatmu dengannya. Terakhir, benar-benar terakhir, harapan tinggi jatuh.
tak berbentuk, nyata bukan pertanda. Hanya pikiranku saja. Harapan itu semu, sulit untuk ku percaya. Sampai akhirnya ku lihat sendiri sakit hatiku, oh, 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 sakit melihatmu dengannya. Tinggal melupakanmu saja, janji diri sendiri. Terakhir malam ini.
That was the song entitled Ekspektasi, sung by Kunto Aji. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's good to meet you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the topic of today's My Indonesia is United Nations again entrust Indonesia to become a member of the United Nations Human Rights Council. Well, listener, Indonesia gained made achievements in the international world by being elected as member of the UN Human Rights Council on the period 2020-2024. In the 14th, Indonesia won the support of votes from 174 countries. The election took place at the 74th General Assembly at the United Nations at the headquarters in New York, USA on October 17, 2019. Indonesia received the highest votes for the Asia-Pacific region and was elected along with the three other countries from the Asia-Pacific group, Japan, with 165 votes, South Korea with 165 votes, and Marshall Islands with 123 votes. As quoted on the website of the Minister of Foreign Affairs.go.id, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in Jakarta shortly after the election took place at the UN headquarters said that the support for Indonesia was truthful and evident of international trust, and Indonesia had a high track record and contribution in the promotion of human rights through international cooperation. For Indonesia, this membership is also a form of fulfilling the constitutional mandate and affirming Indonesian commitment to the application of global human rights norms, not only at the global level but also at the regional and national levels. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that this victory is the result of hard work of all elements of the nation. On the occasion, Minister Retno Marsudi, on behalf of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, thanked all elements of the nation, including the media people. Indonesian membership in the UN Human Rights Council, which carries the tagline "A true partner for democracy, development and social justice," is expected to encourage this UN human rights mechanism to be more effective, efficient, and it opens constructive dialogue with the principles of universality, impartiality, objectivity, and non-selectivity. In 2020, Indonesian membership in the Human Rights Council will begin. This is in conjunction with the Indonesian membership in the UN Security Council. Indonesia will start its term of office on January 1, 2020, along with other Asia-Pacific countries, Afghanistan, Bahrain, Bangladesh, Fiji, India, Japan, Marshall Islands, Nepal, Pakistan, the Philippines, Qatar, and South Korea. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Kehidupan yang ku lalui.
That was Ironi, sung by Lydia and Imaniar. You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello, listener. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Bajing Waterfall in Pekalongan, Central Java. Traveling to Pekalongan, Central Java, I suggest you to visit Petung Kriyono sub-district. It is located in Pekalongan Regency. Petung Kriyono is mountainous area with altitude among 600 to 2,100 meters on sea level. At Petung Kriyono, there are various interesting tourism objects which can be visited, such as Bajing, Muncar, Lawe, Sibeduk, Waterfalls, Kendali Sodo Peak, Tugu, Willow River, Soko Kembang Forest, and Mount Rogo Jembangan. Now we invite you to have a look closer Bajing Waterfall. Bajing Waterfall is located at Petung Kriyono Mountain Area, precisely at Telogo Pakis Village. Bajing or Bajingan in local language means thief or bad guy. According to local people, once upon a time, villagers on Mount Lumbung were blessed fertile land and abundant harvest. But unfortunately, the harvest certainly disappeared instantly. It was suspected that the harvest robbed by the thief. Therefore, the waterfall at the region was named Curug Bajing or Bajing Waterfall. The waterfall has 75 meters high. Not many people are brave to enjoy the freshness of the waterfall's water, due to the depth of the waterfall reaches 7 meters. In addition, the water discharge is quite large. Most tourists only play the water around 100 meters far from the waterfall while enjoying the swift water slide. And if you are not interested to play the water, you can take picture with Curug Bajing as the background. To go to Curug Bajing, it takes 1.5 hours from the center of Pekalongan City. Arriving at the waterfalls complex, you have to pay 2,000 rupiah for parking motorcycle and 5,000 rupiah for car, while for entrance ticket is only 5,000 rupiah per person. Surrounding the complex, there are some stalls, toilet and mosque. Curug Bajing is located sharply at the valley. To go to the waterfalls area, you only walk around 300 meters with very easy access. At the gateway, there are some spots for selfie. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. wangi bunga dalam hening khayalan asmara.
You have just listened to the song entitled Angin Malam, sung by Krisya. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expression, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in Indonesian. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Development and Fostering Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Mohon Perhatian, or in English, Attention Please. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on mohon perhatian or attention please. Tony was at the hotel in the Borobudur temple area. A tour guide asked attention from a group of tourists. The group is still noisy.
Mohon perhatian sebentar, ada pengumuman penting.
Baik.
Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 pagi. Jangan terlambat ya.
Baik, terima kasih.
After listening to this conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to this theme, namely mohon perhatian, which means attention please. I will say the words 2 times and you may repeat after me. Pengumuman, pengumuman, which means announcement. Mohon perhatian, which means please pay attention. Mohon perhatian sebentar. Mohon perhatian sebentar, which means please pay attention briefly. Halo semuanya, which means hello everybody. Ada pengumuman penting, which means there is an important announcement. Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 pagi. Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 pagi, which means tomorrow gather in the lobby at 3:30 in the morning. Jangan terlambat ya. Jangan terlambat ya, which means don't be late. In the dialogue you heard, the tour guide asked the group's attention by saying mohon perhatian, which means attention please. Perhaps to attract attention so everyone would listen, the tour guide also said ada pengumuman penting, which means there is an important announcement. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. When you want to ask for attention from a group of people, you can say mohon perhatian, which means please pay attention. Sometimes people will say pengumuman, which means announcement, or mohon perhatian. It means there is something important that you need to listen to. Next, in the dialogue, you hear the tour guide asking the group to listen carefully by saying, tolong dengarkan baik-baik. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. Next is an example of some expressions in various situations to ask someone to do something well in variety of conversations. Notice the example. Tolong perhatikan baik-baik. Tolong perhatikan baik-baik, which means please pay close attention. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik. Tolong dengarkan baik-baik, which means please listen carefully. Tolong lihat baik-baik, which means please look carefully. The use of the word baik-baik, which means carefully, in such a context is only used in the Indonesian variety of conversations or colloquial. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more.
Mohon perhatian sebentar, ada pengumuman penting.
Baik.
Besok kumpul di lobi 3:30 pagi. Jangan terlambat ya.
Baik, terima kasih.
that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to learn Indonesian. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
That was Jujur, sung by Leo, Randy, and Rifki Afi. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a Malayan song to you entitled merajut kasih yang hilang, which will be sung by Boy Sandy. The song Merajut Kasih Yang Hilang talks about someone's regret because he left his lover and wants to knit back his love with his ex-girlfriend. Composed by Andre C., music of the song is quite sad, appropriate with the lyrics of the song, which describes deep regret and homesickness. The song is one of 13 songs which enters in an album of the best of Boy Sandy's Malayan songs. Boy Sandy, who was born in Padang, West Sumatra, masters many musical genres beginning from pop Minang, Malay, until slow rock. Let's listen to Merajut Kasih Yang Hilang, sung by Boy Sandy. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fanpage The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.